This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Good evening and welcome. Welcome to Africa News Tonight from the English to Africa service of the Voice of America, your source for Pan-African news and world developments. I'm Yehiye Suhib in Washington. Coming up on Africa News Tonight.
We have no choice but to work together to win the battle against this virus and bring them under our control.
That's Ling Songtian, China's ambassador to South Africa on the coronavirus. Details coming up. Also, civic groups, political parties and the government are pleading for the women of Cameroon to vote in next week's local and parliamentary elections. And 20 people have died and a dozen others were injured in a stampede during a church meeting in the northern Tanzanian city of Moshi yesterday. And Nigeria is fighting an outbreak of Lassa fever as the numbers of confirmed cases and deaths continue to rise. We'll have these stories and more ahead on Africa News Tonight. Our top story, France has committed to sending more troops to the Africa's increasingly unstable Sahel region to help battle a wave of attacks by Islamist fighters. The commitment comes after France, the former colonial power in the region, met with the presidents of the five Sahel countries, and it's appealing for more forces from other European countries and the United States, which has talked about cutting its African forces. Reporter Nicolas Pinot in Paris spoke with VOA's Paul Alexander.
Well, the French defense minister, I just announced 600 additional troops are going to be sent to Mali for a total of 5,100 French troops in the Sahel. It's a huge increase, and we have to notice that this increase is the follow-up of the decision made on the summit in Pau 3 weeks ago, where the French president, Emmanuel Macron, met five African presidents from Mali, Niger, Burkina Faso, and Chad, and Mauritania, and they decided to have a new strategy for the Sahel. So this announcement is part of this summit, and they're going to be sent pretty fairly on the ground.
Is there concern there about the possibility of the U.S. cutting its presence in Africa?
Yeah, it is a huge concern for French authorities. As a matter of fact, Florence Parly, the French defense minister, she was in Washington last week to try to negotiate with the American authorities to maintain their presence in Africa. I know it's a huge concern, especially because the U.S., they are providing a lot of transportation on the ground. They're really helping also with intelligence, with the drones, especially with the U.S. base in Agadez, Niger. So it is a concern for French authorities.
This whole wave of violence is pretty concerning for everyone involved. How does the French public see the growing violence in the Sahel and France's growing commitment?
Well, people are a little bit skeptical because we keep sending troops in the Sahel region. You have to remember that as a total of 41 French soldiers lost their life during the mission since the beginning of the intervention. So it's a concern for the French public opinion because basically here people, they will tell you they don't see any results because you have almost attacks weekly, maybe sometimes daily. It would be in Burkina Faso, Niger or Mali. And people here are concerned that the French troops sent there will not be safe because the mission is too perilous.
That was reporter Nicolas Pinot in Paris speaking with VOA's Paul Alexander. Malawi's Constitutional Court annulled last year's presidential election today and said new balloting must be held within 150 days. The ruling party has the right to appeal the decision to the Supreme Court. Incumbent President Arthur Peter Mutharika was elected to a second and final term, but the Constitutional Court ruled the results were not valid because of irregularities and rigging. The people who challenged the results include main opposition party leader Lazarus Chakwera from the Malawi Congress Party and former Vice President Saulos Chilima from the United Transformation Movement. In advance of the decision's announcement, security forces closed off roads leading to the court and were deployed around the capital. Civic groups, political parties, and the government are pleading for the women of Cameroon to vote in next week's local and parliamentary elections, despite threats by separatist groups who have vowed to disrupt the polls. Female candidates and women who campaigned on behalf of others fear their efforts may amount to nothing if women do not come out to vote. Moki Edwin Kenzeka reports from Yaoundé.
Justice!
UDP!
Justice!
UDP!
Justice for all!
Representatives of NGOs and government ministries are joining political parties at rallies in Cameroon's capital in what they call a special campaign for women to perform their civic duties next Sunday. Female candidate Alvin Yinda says she is impressed with the initiative because the absence of women from polling stations on the day of the elections will give men an unfair advantage. She says female candidates of her Cameroon People's Democratic Movement, CPDM, have decided to encourage all women who registered to make sure they vote massively on February 9, 2020. She says they are working with all contesting political parties to make sure women take part in the decision-making process. Muma Bi Yvonne, national coordinator of the NGO Cameroon Women's Peace Movement, says the campaign is for women to support lists that have a majority of female candidates. She says these are the only ones they are sure can represent the views of women.
We need to be there so that we impact the decisions that affect us like women. If we need a health center or women need to attend antenatal in a certain area, a woman is well placed to understand the plight of women. Women have a different way of looking at governance. But if we are not there to influence policies, how do we get that level playing ground that we all dream for?
The elections were called by Cameroonian President Paul Biya last November. Before then, delegations of women, led by the NGO More Women in Politics, visited towns and villages, encouraging females to run for political office. Political parties agreed with the NGO and increased to 42% the number of female candidates in the race. But traditionally, many women do not vote because they are restricted by their husbands and communities who believe they should carry out only domestic chores or go to the farms. Some women fail to participate due to illiteracy. This year, it is feared the number of female voters will further decrease because of the separatist conflict that has killed at least 3,000 people in Cameroon's northwest and southwest regions. There, armed groups fighting to separate the English-speaking regions from the French-speaking majority country have vowed the elections will not take place. Most voters in the north and southwest have relocated to safer localities where the Election Commission says it has taken special measures to enable them to vote. Within the past 3 days, the SDF and CPDM political parties said the separatists attacked 4 campaign teams in the towns of Mbengui, Batibo and Bafut and abducted at least 20 people, including 13 women, whose whereabouts is still unknown. Cameroon's Minister of Women's Empowerment and the Family, Marie-Thérèse Abena-Ondua, says such acts of intimidation should not discourage women.
It is important for them to go and really decide, choose the best candidate, and take into consideration the list that have valuable women, women who can bring a plus to the development of our country.
Ondua said the government would protect all voters. More than 40% of Cameroon's nearly 9 million voters are female, and women in the Central African state constitute about 52% of the population. But just 6% of Cameroon's 380 mayors, 31% of the 180 lawmakers at the National Assembly, and 21% of the senators are women. Moki Edwin Kinzuka for VOA News, Yaoundé.
The Director General of the World Health Organization is urging countries not to close their borders to foreigners traveling from China in response to the coronavirus epidemic in that country. More than 17,000 cases, including 361 deaths, have been confirmed in China. The WHO chief made his appeal at the opening of the agency's executive board, which meets annually to set WHO health policies. Lisa Schlein reports from WHO headquarters in Geneva.
The United States, Australia, Singapore, and a growing number of other countries are denying entry to foreigners traveling from China in an effort to limit the spread of the deadly coronavirus. WHO Chief Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus says 151 cases of the disease and one death have been confirmed in 23 countries outside China. He says the small number of cases can be managed without countries resorting to extreme measures.
There is no reason for measures that unnecessarily interfere with international travel and trade. We call on all countries to implement decisions that are evidence-based and consistent. WHO stands ready to provide advice to any country that's considering which measures to take.
Last week, WHO declared the coronavirus a public health emergency of international concern and issued several recommendations to prevent and limit the further spread of the virus. Tedros says the disease was mainly declared a global health threat out of concern that countries with weaker health systems would have difficulty in containing the virus, which can spread from person to person. As such, he says one of the recommendations is for international support to countries with fragile health systems. He says other recommendations include efforts to accelerate the development of vaccines and medicines, as well as measures to combat the spread of rumors and misinformation.
Review preparedness plans, identify gaps, and evaluate the resources needed to identify, isolate, and care for cases and prevent transmission. Both the coronavirus preparedness, not panic.
Tedros says only solidarity and cooperation among all countries will defeat the coronavirus outbreak. He says everyone is in this together, and the only way to stop the virus from spreading is by working together. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
One of China's top Africa diplomats, the ambassador to South Africa, says there is no need for Africans to panic over the coronavirus. No confirmed cases of the pneumonia-like virus have yet surfaced on the continent. Ambassador Lin Songtian says China is monitoring all visitors to South Africa and says that in China, officials are treating the thousands of African nationals who may be at risk. VOA's Anita Powell reports from Pretoria.
The best thing Africans can do about the spread of coronavirus, says China's ambassador to South Africa, is to remain calm and stay put. The respiratory virus has now affected more than 14,500 people across 23 countries, according to the World Health Organization. Most cases, and most of the more than 300 deaths, have occurred in China, where the virus originated last year. As fears spread globally, Ambassador Lin Songtian sought to soothe frayed nerves Monday in South Africa's capital.
We have no choice but work together to win the battle against this virus and bring them under our control. And that is our suggestion. We hope American friends, the European Union, all the developed countries, you are feel reassured and relaxed. China is safe. We have shown the capacity and resources is strong enough to bring this disease, the coronavirus, under our control as soon as possible.
More than 3,000 South African nationals reside in China, and the ambassador advised them and others to remain in place. Several countries, including Australia, Britain, Japan, and the United States, have repatriated their citizens, which Chinese officials say may only spread the infection. Health officials say the virus can spread from close contact with infected people.
All the foreigners, including the American people who are in China, they are the friends of China. They are the guests of China. They are our people, our friends. So I'd like to advise them, trust China. Give the hand to us. Give us confidence and strength and solidarity. Stay well in the community, in the village, at home, in the university, you are safe. In case something happens, the system is working.
The ambassador also noted that all newly arrived visitors from China are being monitored and screened, although he did not say how many people that involved. He noted, however, that the embassy is advising all travelers from China to remain home for their first week, monitor their health, and keep in contact with the embassy. Additionally, South Africa's government has implemented temperature testing and health screening at the continent's busiest airport. The nation's health minister has assured the population that the government has contingency plans in place, including designated treatment facilities and a 24-hour hotline. Anita Powell, VOA News, Pretoria.
You're listening to Africa News Tonight, live on the following frequencies, 15580 and 6080 kilohertz on the Voice of America. I'm Yehi Suhib in Washington. 21 past the hour, here's a recap of our top stories. France has committed to sending more troops to the Africa's increasingly unstable Sahel region to help battle a wave of attacks by Islamist fighters. Malawi's Constitutional Court annulled last year's presidential election today and said new balloting must be held within 150 days. Civic groups, political parties, and the government are pleading for the women of Cameroon to vote in the next week's local and parliamentary elections. And the Director General of the World Health Organization is urging countries not to close their borders to foreigners traveling from China. And for more news and information, visit our website at voaafrica.com. The United Nations Food and Agricultural Organization, FAO, says today swarms of desert locusts could ravage more countries in eastern Africa and threaten the livelihood of many more people. The swarms, first sighted in December, according to Reuters, have already destroyed tens of thousands of hectares of farmland in Kenya, Somalia, and Ethiopia, threatening food supplies in the worst locust invasion in 70 years. There's also other countries at risk, especially South Sudan, Uganda, Eritrea, says Bukar Tijani, Assistant Director General of FAO's Agricultural and Consumer Protection Department. FAO said at least one locust swarm has already been seen in Eritrea, and several had also been sighted in Oman and Yemen. According to a Reuters report, 20 people have died and a dozen others were injured in a stampede during a church meeting in the northern Tanzanian city of Moshi yesterday. The stampede was caused by church faithful being ushered to pass through one exit at the meeting venue so they could walk on anointed oil. The prayer meeting was led by Boniface Mwamposa, a popular preacher who heads the Arise and Shine Ministry Tanzania. Pastor Boniface Mwamposa had been drawing huge crowds by promising prosperity and cures for diseases to worshippers who step in what he calls blessed oil during his services. Tanzania's Home Affairs Minister George Simbachawene said on Sunday that Mwamposa was arrested on Sunday in Tanzania's commercial capital, Dar es Salaam, as he attempted to flee the country. He is being accused for not taking enough precautions and violating the terms of the church's permit for the meeting, which ran 2 hours later than planned. Tanzania has seen a rise in the number of prosperity gospel pastors in recent years who promise to lift people out of poverty and perform what they call miracle cures. Nigeria is fighting an outbreak of Lassa fever as the numbers of confirmed cases and deaths continue to rise. Gifta Gariga from Abuja, Nigeria, tells us more.
According to the Nigerian Center for Disease Control, the number of newly confirmed cases and deaths is gradually on the rise. 49 deaths were reported in January from 689 suspected cases and 258 confirmed cases from 19 states. Five health workers were among the dead. Dr. Chikwe Ihekwazu is the center's chief executive officer. He says the goal is to get the case fatality ratio to less than 10%.
And what we, the Nigeria Center for Disease Control, has done is ensure that we are better prepared to prevent, but we can't prevent all cases, so we detect and ensure that those that we detect have access to care and treatment, and we reduce the number of people that die from this disease.
Ihekwazu is optimistic that within the next two or more years, a vaccine will be available to prevent Lassa fever.
We're excited that one vaccine has gone into the phase one trials for vaccine, and we'll be working with the vaccine developers to carry out the trials that are necessary in order to test this vaccine in Nigeria over the next year.
Lassa is an acute viral hemorrhagic fever. It has continued to rage like a bushfire, spreading into many communities across Nigeria. There are fears the situation may worsen in the coming days. Although the overall case fatality rate for 2020 is lower, 15.9%, than the same period in 2019, 19.7%. Health watchers say it is worrisome. Dr. Osaho Enabulele, president of the Commonwealth Medical Association, lamented that Nigeria has no effective measures to curb the spread of Lassa fever.
Every year in the house, we have been ravaged by the scourge of Lassa fever. It shows that there's something fundamentally wrong. And even in terms of the surveillance, in terms of the diagnosis and the other management modalities, there's still a lot to be desired.
Kano State in northern Nigeria has been one of the hardest hit areas. A health development worker and director, Rescue the Women Foundation, Salim Wada Usman, said there is need to fight fear, especially for people in rural areas.
As an NGO, it's part of our work too, to sensitize people and calm them down on this issue. So people shouldn't be worried.
He called on the Nigerian government to concentrate more on the health of its citizens to help curb the spate of diseases. For VOA News, this is Gift Agiriga from Abuja, Nigeria.
And that wraps up this edition of African News Tonight. I'm Yehiye Suhib in Washington. For all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Please stay tuned to the sunny side of sports coming up at 18:30 UTC. On behalf of our producer, Mokbil Yabaro, and our engineer, John Dryden, thanks for choosing The Voice of America.
Hi, this is Larry London inviting you to join me on February 14th for Border Crossings Presents Urban Chart Legends. Some of the biggest names in urban music, jazz, R&B, hip-hop. It's all on one program on one day, February 14th. Michael Jackson, Kendrick Lamar, James Brown, and many more. Tune us in starting at 1500 Universal right here on The Voice of America.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, the Great Lakes region has a turbulent history marked by conflict at the expense of its citizens. Human rights in the Great Lakes region on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
The Voice of America's global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 17:05 UTC on The Voice of America.
Hey, sports fans, brighten your day by tuning in to the Sunny Side of Sports, Monday through Friday at 1630 and 1830 UTC. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/VOA Sunny and on Twitter at VOA Sunny Sports. Or check out the blog at blogs.voanews.com/sunny. It's the Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.